Thanks everybody for coming. I'm very glad to have the ministers here. And so I won't delay. I know we're starting a little late, so why don't I just make a couple of introductory remarks about the overall situation and then turn it over to them. We have a paper on some of the background issues, which you can get out there, emphasizing that, you know, the struggle in Bolivia is in a large part a struggle over land and natural resources. That's a big part of the conflict, that both are very unequally distributed. You have the most unequal distribution of land in almost the whole world, with less than somewhere around 0.6% of the owners controlling about 2/3 of the land. And then you have the hydrocarbon revenue, very unequally distributed, especially among the Media Luna states, the eastern lowlands, Fondo, Tarija, Beni, and Santa Cruz. And so this is part of the big struggle, and I think they'll say more about it. And we talked about this the last time, so I won't go into the details. There's just a couple points I want to make in terms of overview. One is that the with regard to the current economic crisis, which is we've been very busy lately, because the media has, of course, intense interest in this. We did a paper on how the U.S. slowdown, the real economy, would affect Latin America, and I don't think Bolivia will be affected drastically. Only 2.4% of GDP is their total exports to the United States. They expect some of that to slow. Of course, the world economy is slowing as well. But I think it's very important that people keep in mind, and we talked about this yesterday, that hopefully the big countries will do what they should do. That is, they'll not only try to stabilize the financial system, but they will also pursue the expansionary fiscal and monetary policies that will be necessary to avoid the downturn from becoming increasingly worse. But if they don't, individual countries and regions can still do a lot. For example, China is already shifting more towards a domestically oriented growth strategy, as they did during the Asian financial crisis, where they grew consistently at double-digit rates while the rest of the region went into deep recession. And I think there's a chance, because you have these new and more progressive governments in Latin America today, in South America especially, that they will not take the pro-cyclical measures, at least, that were taken in the past that exacerbated crises in the region, as has happened in past crises. So I think that's an important thing to point out. Bolivia is fortunate not only in having not being dependent on any particular one market for exports, but also having quite a large amount of reserves, over $7 billion in reserves, which is more than half of GDP. And they also have the other advantage, they're not really dependent on the international financial markets as some other countries are. So I think the prognosis is good. And CEPR has, over the last few years, promoted reserve sharing agreements. We're hoping, we've also been a proponent of the Bank of the South. But originally, we also proposed the kind of reserve sharing agreements that you have, for example, in the Chiang Mai Initiative in Asia, where countries can share reserves and swap reserves in times of need. And I hope that that will also become something in the region. Now, one other point before I turn it over to people who are real experts on the Bolivian economy. I want to say something about relations between Bolivia and the United States, because obviously these have soured lately with the expulsion of the U.S. ambassador a few weeks ago. And I think this is very much misunderstood because, you know, in the United States, this is one of the problems, you know, this is a general problem with media reporting in Latin America, sometimes elsewhere, is they often report allegations as facts and facts as allegations. The fact that the United States government is intervening in Bolivia and funding opposition groups is a fact. If you call USAID, which I have done, they will tell you that they are funding opposition groups in Bolivia. So this is not an allegation, as it's commonly referred to in almost every news article that I read. It says President Evo Morales alleges that USAID is funding opposition groups. They are. And in fact, there's a very demonstrated prejudice in their funding. Here's from their own statements. Say, $3 million to support democratic political parties. Who do they consider to be democratic? $2.6 million and another $1 million to support democratic local government and decentralization. Well, what does that mean in the context of a separatist movement? So this is from their own admitted statements. And then you have to consider the quantity. USAID had a budget in Bolivia only. They were spending $89 million. Now, that's equivalent to some foreign country spending $100 billion in the United States, okay, relative to their economy. So that's what we're spending on military operations in Iraq, for those who don't have an idea of what a large number is. So imagine that Russia or China or Iran were spending $100 billion in the United States, and they said, well, you know, most of that's just technical aid, and there's a few billion here and there that we're not going to tell you where we're spending it. I don't think that would fly here. First of all, we have laws against it, and those would be enforced, and new laws would be passed if we didn't have enough. So, you see, this is a very serious thing in a small country where you have that kind of money coming in, and the U.S. government refuses to say where that money is going. Then they really, the government of Bolivia has the right and the obligation to protect its democracy and its citizens and take the necessary measures to do that. And so that's, I think, very important for people here to understand. And 90, there's a letter, I don't know if we have it out there, but it should be on our website, I'll link to it. There was a letter from 90 academics, Latin American scholars and researchers, that went to the Secretary of State on September 19th, I think it was, and asked them to disclose who they are funding. We want full disclosure of what groups the United States government is funding in Bolivia. And so we and other groups and individuals will continue to press for that. Finally, the last point I want to make is about change here in the United States, because we are facing, in the United States, obviously, an election. It looks very much, it's looking more each day like Barack Obama will win the election. And so we have a chance to make a new start in relations with Bolivia and in Latin America generally. And so I want to emphasize that, because I don't think it will happen automatically. I think that it will take a lot of persuasion, pressure, lobbying from people here and elsewhere around the country to get them, to get our government to change, and the foreign policy establishment here to change its overall attitude. Right now, they consider their intervention in Bolivia to be legitimate, and they really haven't changed yet. At all, and you don't see anything indicating change. So that's going to be very important. There will be a transition. There will probably be a new ambassador. There will be some new top officials in the State Department. And there's, of course, a new Congress. And I want to emphasize that, because I think it's very important that we repair relations with Bolivia. I think the burden is going to be on the United States to do that, to show that it has new intentions, that it's abandoning the strategies of the past. That's where we want to go from here. Okay, thank you.